Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us for another episode of He Hears Even the Cricket in the Corner. I'm Samuel Manuel, and I'm joined by the lovely Cricket Douglas.
Hey, everyone. Thanks again, Sam. Truly, I'm so excited to be here again today to discuss our topic.
Yep. And our topic today is going to be, why does God allow tragedy, and how should we navigate it as believers? So let's go ahead and jump in. What do you got for us, Ms. Cricket?
Sam, when you gave me the topic, first of all, I thought about Jesus and us being here, and there's nothing new under the sun. Mm-hmm. And so this is just a continuation of the fall of man, mm-hmm. and we're seeing it at such a time as this. And it looks like it's greater than we are. But your name, Samuel Emmanuel, God is with us. That's a key factor for me, because God said in his word that he'd never leave us nor forsake us. And even as calamities hit, and they do daily in our lives, we got to remember that.
Yeah.
Even to the end of time. And he promised us, yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we shouldn't fear evil, because his rod and staff will comfort us. And truly, he is with us. So the tragedies that we see in the world, it's good to know that God knows about it, first of all. And he gives us knowledge and wisdom not to be afraid. And I think when the fear sets in, that's when we truly see it as a tragedy. And I had posted one time, when you carry fear, it weighs you down, because you're carrying the heaviness of something that he didn't create for us.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah. So him allowing this to happen is part of our destination. It's part of the walk that he took, going to the cross, and to know God is to suffer with him. So at this point, seeing everything, that's why I don't watch the news a lot. Because tragedy sets forth in my face every day.
Yeah.
Every day we see something or hear something, you know, and it don't have to be on the news.
And I'm thinking about your point there, that fear, specifically that type of fear that's a result of the fall, that wasn't intended for us. I think that's a great point. So we recognize that when we do feel that fear rising in us, we know that, yes, this is a real feeling. Yes, it is the result of something, which was the fall, which reflects the world. And how is it, who do we turn to when feeling that? Because although that isn't in the ideal way that he had intended, hadn't wanted that for us, but that it just be through our choice was allowed, he still provides a way out. He provides support through it all. And that's why we have to know as believers, even when it gets rough and we start perceiving these things as tragedies, we look to him, cling to him, and he'll give us the strength to get through it. But also, I think a big thing is our perception. So you're speaking about it being a tragedy, and I heard where you're saying we look at it as a tragedy, right? That suggests that there's another way to look at it as well. And I think when we look through the lens that God does use everything in our life for a purpose, there's reason why he allows it, whether we can see it or not. It's all part of his plan. We can change our perspective of something that we would once see as a tragedy as something that is being used to refine us as believers and give us steadfastness through the different trials that occur.
And you know, I looked up the word tragedy, and it says a serious drama typically describing a conflict between the protagonist and the superior forces. That's so familiar.
Yeah.
Who's the protagonist? Which is God. God has a place for us to be. And here comes that superior force here on earth that derails us with all his little plots and schemes.
Yeah.
But the thing about that, as you said earlier, God gives us a way out because he is the way out. Where we take the hand of the enemy and he said, let's go. He's not telling you up ahead, there's tragedy. What we're going to do. But God says, come with me. And we can't get to God except through his son, Jesus, which is never leaving us alone. He's always there. He does give us a means of escape. And the way that we escape is through him. Because he's there to protect us. He gives us scripture every day. He gives us a promise, a hope, and our hope is in him. And we should not, it's like when we choose to do evil, you know bad things are going to come from that. Because see, we've made that choice.
Yeah.
We didn't consult God and say, should I rob that bank? And he'll tell you no. You know, what would Jesus do? Leave it as it is. And that tragedy turns into triumph only if we be with God. But with this, with the enemy, no. Because the scripture says the wages of sin is death. And the wages, that means you pay. I'm out here killing people. What would my wages be?
Death.
Jail time. Something's gonna die in my life through that experience.
Yeah.
But with Christ, the wages of my sin have already been paid in full.
And I'm a thought that I'm having, and I hope I'm not taking this verse out of context. I could be. This isn't in anything that I've looked too far deep into, especially relating to this. But I think of the verse, and I can't say specifically. Where it talks about God not giving us more than we can handle. I think that if we're questioning God and we feel that something is more than we can handle, or we're in such trials and tragedy, that perhaps there were decisions that we made along the way through our fallen worldly mind that led us to feel the consequences of that. And it's a telltale sign that we're not in line with what God's will is for us and what he intended for us.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because you're spot on. Because I'm a survivor of domestic violence. Now, how I got to be a survivor? Because I had to call on the Lord to get me out of a situation that I chose to be in. And it wasn't like, oh God, why you let me go through this? Well, my mom told me, nope, that's not the man for you. But see, I went against my mom, which is disobedience. Disobedience brings on curses. So because I made that choice, I almost lost my life. But in the midst of the beatings and everything I went through, I had to call on God, and he brought me out. With humanity, Sam, the things that transpire, it's because of the choices that we make. If we would all just get up in the morning and say, I choose life and not death. I choose life because whatever I got, I want you to have. It's not whatever I got, no, you're not good enough. I don't want you to have that. You're going to have this. He's given all of us air. He didn't say, oh, no, Sam, you only can have a little bit of this. And Cricket, you can have a little bit of this. We're breathing the same air every day because he's supplying it. And he supplies all of us life, because guess what? As he said, no one took my life. I made the choice to lay my life down. And that means he gave up his right for our wrong. So how many of us want to give up our right for the wrong? And even at the end, when you with Satan, you see death. You taste death. But even with God, you see death. You taste death. But guess what? You die so you can live again. There is no death in God. But with Satan, your soul. You know, the Bible said, what good is it to gain the world and lose your soul? But with God, give it to him. He'll fix it and make it right. And the things that we experience, you were saying earlier, it's his grace that is sufficient. We all have thorns on our side, and we want God to take it away. Just like tragedy. Oh, God, don't let this happen. But his grace is sufficient. He know you can go through it. Because he went through it. And with tragedy, it's triumph. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus.
And, you know, there are the things that are the consequences of our actions. There are the things that are just allowed because we live in a fallen world. And I know we've already spoke about looking to him and clinging to him to help us through those. Specifically, John 16:33, it says, I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart that I overcome the world. That gives me, one, it gives me peace, but two, just so much confidence in being able to get through my situation. And I really appreciate you sharing about the situation you had gone to previously.
Absolutely.
And then also just because it's such a powerful example that one, you were able to identify that situation being a consequence of decisions you had made then, and also identified where sin played a factor there and disobedience played a factor. But then you knew the solution and the way to get out was that you were going to have to lean on him.
Yep, I had to lean on him. And what good came out of it? Forgiveness. I had to forgive him. Although he's no longer with us, I had to forgive him. And when I did that, even when we parted, I wasn't angry with him. And, you know, maybe about a year and a half after that, maybe two, he died. But the real forgiveness came, Sam, when he was in the hospital and he was dying. And God allowed his spirit to come to me. And I know everybody like, ooh, if you hear this, but I'm telling you the truth. And the moment I forgave him, a phone call came to me and his mom told me that he had just took his last breath. So I had to forgive him, not for him, but for me, so it could let him rest. And it's just, all I can say about this podcast that we're discussing today, in the tragedies that we experience in life, what I got out of that tragedy of being disobedient and being a survivor of domestic violence, I have my life. I have two beautiful grandchildren. And I get to go back and tell women or men, yes, you can. Yes, you can, because God did it for me, and he can do it for you. Was I scared? Yes, I was. But guess what? That fear that I see women going through now, I don't carry that anymore. And it's fear that paralyzes you.
Yeah.
It's fear that makes you think there's no hope. And the situations that's going on in the world, Sam, we got hope.
Yeah, and I can imagine, and only imagine because I haven't gone through something like that, but the comfort in having him as a refuge. In Psalm 62:8, it says, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. even in the midst of that, you knew, one, to go to God for that peace, but two, that he ultimately he would take care of you. No matter what the outcome was, that he was there for you and you could take refuge in him. And I also do, while we're on the topic, want to address that, to the point where I had said previously, it may be a consequence of your sin, or either it could be a consequence of just the fall in the world that we live in. I do recognize, I'm sure we both can recognize, that there are people that go through situations like that. And it isn't a consequence of their sin. It's just, unfortunately, just because of the fallen world that we live in, there's terrible people out there that just unprovoked, not to say that there's ever a good reason, but they take their rage and anger out on other people. And even to those people, I want to speak that God's there for you.
He is.
And you cling to him and look to him. And of course, you navigate that situation being smart and find help and do what you need to do.
Exactly.
But know that absolutely he's there for you no matter what, even in the moments where it can be super isolating.
Mm-hmm.
And that person has seemed to take everything away from you, there's one thing that he can't take away from you.
That's right. And I'm glad you did say that, because still he does it for his glory.
Mm-hmm.
He does it for his glory, because when you're in a situation and you didn't cause it and it happens, you still will see God in a situation, but you got to be open to it and not be a victim of it and say, why me, God? And we do, I mean, like when, like I said earlier, the situation that occurred in my life, I couldn't say, why me, God? I knew it. I had signs, you know, and being beaten in my mother's home while she was there. Wow. I could have easily said, Mama, help me. But when it was all over, she told me, she said, I knew you were getting beaten. She said, why didn't you tell me? And she said, had you told me, she said, I would have killed him.
Wow.
So God had me to close my mouth and not tell her, because I wouldn't have known the glory of him. And then that would have put my mom in a bad place too. So Sam, I'm telling you, when you go through things, you be like, how in the world did all this manifest? And it only came through a choice. And sometimes you meet people that are broken and not delivered and healed themselves. And like you said, the pain will be inflicted upon you. Now, did he love me? Truly, I think he did. But because of the things that had happened, transpired to him, he was an abused child. So he didn't have an outlet. He didn't allow God to come in and fix him. Had he did that, he would have known not to do that to me. And, you know, you've heard hurting people will hurt people, and they will. An open wound never heals when there is no forgiveness. It just grows and grows and grows. You know, you can be out of a person's presence that have inflicted pain upon you, but you haven't been delivered and you haven't been healed. So that next person that comes that maybe treat you well, because you're not healed and delivered, you'll start inflicting that pain upon them that you encountered. But it's so important that we be delivered and healed from our situations in the world. And that's where all the evilness comes from. It has a root to it. And you're not treating somebody right, that's a checkpoint. You know how a car goes through simulation?
Yeah.
And they do checkpoints to make sure it's all right, so so it can go to the another place. Well, if you're not right in some areas of your life, and you might get through the checkpoint, they may not detect it. What's going to happen when you get to the next stop?
It's going to catch up.
And man itself into something even greater than it lost at the checkpoint. That's why we have checkpoints, to fix and correct things so you can move on. But if you just go through it, when you get to the other place, you'll just take what you had and it'll keep moving. The car keep moving and moving to a drive off the lot. And we'll keep moving and moving and moving in life until there's correction made.
And I think if you get to that place where you are able to make changes and corrections within your ability, because I know there's external factors as well, and you recognize that you need to get things right with you and God first and foremost, and there's a positive domino effect that can take place from there. It may or may not change those external forces, but at least you know first that you're right and that you can look to him to take you out of that situation in some way, even if it's giving relief and peace, like we said previously. But I'm looking at this verse in 2 Corinthians 4:16-18, and it speaks of suffering being temporary, but eternity being secure. So do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an internal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. So it's not to disregard that tragedy is painful, but rather to shift our purpose to be of the bigger picture and an eternal purpose, and know that after all this, meaning our life in the world, there's more to come, and we are going to be rescued.
Mm-hmm.
And what can we control now and correct now to ensure that we're getting on the other side of it?
That's right. And you know, that temporal, it seems like a lifetime sentence.
Mm.
That 7 years I was in my relationship, I mean, I never slept.
Mm-hmm.
I never slept. But Sam, that first night that I got out of that relationship, that was the most sweetest sleep
mm-hmm.
that I had in 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And for me to say that, that's like every night that I was with him, I did not have a peaceful sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment God came and rescued me,
mm-hmm.
I had peace.
Mm-hmm.
I could go to sleep. I wasn't fearful anymore. And that does weigh more than what I had went through in them 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been delivered out of that relationship for over 32 years. And wow. Guess what? I can sleep now.
Yeah.
So I've got 3 times more than I had back then. Because I'm able to close my eyes and go to sleep and not be fearful anymore of my life. And when you know your life is involved, that's the turning point.
Mm.
And you said something earlier. It's the awakening that touches your spirit and opens your eyes
mm-hmm.
and lets you know, I can't do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. And it's the awakening to the calamities in the world that we can hope in God, and we know that there's a better way out. And you got to live the word in order to know the word. We can read the Bible every day, quote scriptures, but until you've been tested in the fiery furnace, you'll never know.
Yeah,
I'll never know about healing if I never get sick.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
I got to get sick.
Mm-hmm.
I got to get sick.
Yeah.
I've been sick to the point of death, but guess what? I knew there was a God. I knew there was a God that could raise my body up off the bed. So if you don't experience anything, then you'll never know him. You can't, you got to learn how to rejoice out of your sorrows. You got to come out of them.
Yeah.
And when you come out of them, guess what? Without a shadow of doubt in your mind, you'll know that there's a God. You know that it's a God.
Yes, ma'am.
Like I said, I can't tell anybody, and I'm so passionate about this. I can't tell anybody, but I can tell you the truth about healing. I can tell you the truth about deliverance, because guess what? I've been there. I know that a giant can chase me, and I can turn now and look at him, and I can say, I ain't scared of you no more. It's like a grasshopper to me. Because I know. When I was getting beaten for that last time, I know God had to come get me, Sam. Because I feared for my life in a way that I could not tell you. To the point that I know if he didn't get me out of it, then I would die. And I knew that. So now I emphasize this point. When you're at death and it's staring you into your face, that's a choice. When you get out, I'm telling you, don't go back. Because if you go back, you probably would die. I know if I got back in an abusive relationship, and when I say die, yes, I could physically die, but my soul would die. What I got now, Sam, is so peaceful. I can't give that back over to anybody else because they'll have all control of my life again. And I'm not going to do that because the peace that I have and carry with me, it's easy and light, but that fear just weighed me down constantly.
Yeah. That's really good. I appreciate you sharing
that. Yeah, I mean, I get emotional about it.
Yeah.
And God even give you insight. Sometimes I can look at a woman and I know she's being abused, and but you gotta go, just like God is, he's gentle and kind. I couldn't get out until I was ready to get out. And I did lose a friend. She got out, but she got out, she died in the process of getting out. And but she's out now and she's at peace. And it was tragic that she got out because her husband killed her.
Wow.
You know, and look at me, you know, I that could have easily been me. I mean, but he kept me. He kept me in a way that I couldn't explain. Like I said, you had to be there, but his grace was sufficient.
Yeah.
You know, I can't remember if I told you, because the way he beat me all the time, I have to wear long sleeve clothes because I would have bruises. But that morning he beat me and I took a shower and I looked. Where he had hit me, I had no bruises on my body. So it reminded me of the scripture.
Wow.
Being bruised for my iniquities. But by his stripes I was healed. I got healed that day.
Yeah.
And I got delivered. And all I can say is glory to God, Sam.
Amen. Amen. So I did want, as we're closing out here, just to give some practical applications and things to keep on your mind and take away from this. In the midst of your suffering, I encourage you to pray for perspective, to ask God to reveal his presence and purpose in your life and for that situation. Also to seek biblical encouragement, to meditate on his scripture. It'll reveal things to you, because just in the situation, you're looking for answers and you just start reading and things just start flying off the page and answering questions that you have and comforting you and providing you with that peace and renewing your strength and keeping on through your situation. Also, serve others in their suffering. So sometimes God calls us to be the source of comfort for others. Maybe it's we're seeing someone else go through some trials and tragedy. And like for you, Miss Crickets, explaining your story here, you explaining it here today, I'm sure someone's finding comfort in knowing that you were able to get to the other side of that.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing you giving, attributing your strength and rescue to God. And that's a way that we can serve others during their suffering. We just point them back to God, because we know that he truly and ultimately is the answer. And lastly, trusting in God's timing. Healing takes time, but he'll walk with us through it.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that, sure, because we know it's he says it in his word, but we've also lived different experiences to show that is a true thing. I've really enjoyed our conversation
today. I
have
too, Sam. I don't know, you just, every time I get with you, I cry.
<That's great.
laughs> But it's out of love, and I'm glad, just for the time, you know, I'm grateful.
Yes,
as I always say, I don't know where this is going, but even if it's just between me and you, guess what?
Yeah.
I give God all the honor and glory.
Absolutely. So for those who are listening or may not be listening, I hope you've enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I'll end us with a prayer again today. Lord, thank you for this time that Miss Cricket and I get to be together and have conversations about these things, Lord, and for us to analyze situations where it looks like suffering and trial and tragedy, Lord, and know that we can look to you for peace and strength, Lord, and guidance to get through it, and ultimately hope, Lord, because we know that all that's thrown at us in this world, this fallen world that we live in, Lord, we know that this isn't it. This isn't the end for us, and that there's more beyond that. And I thank you, Lord, for that. I thank you for giving us that hope and giving us that the gift of salvation so that we can escape this, Lord, and be with you as you intended. And I pray that our discussions here, Lord, where we're reflecting on experiences that we've seen and how to navigate that, I pray that those who are listening will be able to take that and apply it to their lives and their situations. And I pray that this is used for your glory. And in your name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you for having me, Sam.
Thank you.